Let me just sing a short chorus to break into the message here today, or the teaching. You know, so stay with me, folks. This is important. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sing with me. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share the Word of God. We know that thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and the entrance thereof brings light into our lives. So let it be this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So I am going to get back here into the Book of Revelation series, which we have been trying to do. It's so hard when you break away from a series like that, come back again. It's very, very hard, you know, because I'm trying to find some continuity, and it's just hard, you know. So, but I'm going to do kind of a review and all that, talk about, prophetic symbolism, and talk about, you know, how you can understand, you know, Bible prophecy, and especially understand this Book of Revelation. So I'll give kind of a review, because it's been several months since we got away from that, and then I'm going to get back into it fully by the grace of God this summer. But we want to sound an alarm. Yeah, that's the reason why I sang that song. You know, so as a first part of the introduction, let me talk about alarms. What is an alarm? Now, many of us have used alarms of one kind or the other. I use it many times throughout the day. You know, on my job, you know, I have meetings throughout the day. I set an alarm to go off 15 minutes before the meeting to remind me that there's a meeting coming. And it jumps up on my screen, tells me that I have that meeting coming. So that's one kind of an alarm. Another kind of alarm is the one that we use when we sleep. You know, we set the alarm to whatever time you want to wake up, and the alarm goes off and wakes you up. And hopefully, you know, that's enough to get you up out of bed, you know. Then we also have, you know, some other kinds of alarms that can be warning signs, different things. You know, early warning signs, especially when there is a natural disaster coming, you know, we can have NASA or some other part agency, government agency, institute some warnings in some places where they have, like, or they've had, like, the tsunami or hurricane or something. If there was a natural disaster coming that was going to take away homes and lives, you know, and it's about 3 or 4 days away, wouldn't it be nice if people knew that in 3 or 4 days there was something coming that was going to blast through the whole place and many lives will be lost? And they had that kind of early warning signal to let them know, you know, and, you know, perhaps some of them will escape for their lives. Well, we find out that many times, even when there is an evacuation notice, I've seen this on TV, some people refuse to leave. They say, well, you know, where are they going to go? They just refuse to leave. And, you know, most of the times, it doesn't end very well in those cases. And we have to have rescue teams and various people trying to get them out of there. You know, so you can just see that there are various kinds of alarms. You know, the song we sang in Joel chapter 2 verse 1 talks about blowing the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. You know, it's also the trumpet. You know, the Jewish state especially, they're very used to trumpets, the sound of the trumpet for various kinds of messages and alarmings. You know, so sometimes if the trumpet blows once, it means one thing. If it blows two times, it means another thing. If it blows long, then it means something else. They also have the Feast of the Trumpets. I don't have time to go into all that, but I'm just bringing the symbolisms of these things, like alarms and trumpets. And even sometimes Jesus will say, lo, I have told you before. You know, so these things, these warnings, Jesus said it many times. He said, look, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then know that it is at the very door. There is a sermon that Jesus preached on Mount Olives in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Now, that's not the one in Matthew chapter 5. The one in Matthew chapter 5 just said he went to a mountain, didn't tell us the name. But in Matthew 24, verse 3, he told us that it was on Mount Olives. And then the disciples came and asked him some questions. You know, and he said, as he sat upon Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? So they asked like three questions here. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? So about three questions, they piled into this one question. Now, in studying the book of Revelation, we have to look for some other parallels from the book of Matthew, like this chapter, the book of Luke, like chapter 21, some chapters in the books of in the book of Daniel, and even the book of Ezekiel. You know, there are many things that talk about end time prophecy. You know, but when we started this book of Revelation, we called it the preparation series. You know, preparing for the coming of the Lord. Now, that's a subject that's not very popular these days, because it's more popular for us, you know, to preach how the Lord's going to bless you and make you rich, and so on and so forth. Everybody jump up and down. That's good, you know. But at the same time, you know, let me read a stern warning here that Jesus gave. You know, I was reading this Matthew 24, and this is one of my motivations for these kinds of teachings, you know, sometimes. You know, after Jesus gave all these wonderful explanations in Matthew 24, see how he ended it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And this is how he ended it in verse 45. After all that stuff that he has talked about, you know, and I'm not going to go into all of that today. I'm going to kind of do a review to try to refresh our minds and get us back in this thing, because it's been a while. So Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? That's a question that Jesus asked, you know, and I thought that this is a strange question. I mean, you're talking about, you know, end time events and so forth. Why are you talking about this right here? You know, he said, blessed is that servant. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. You know, so, you know, he puts the servant in place to give, you know, his people, God's people, due meat in due season. And the Lord said, well, who's going to be that good servant? You know, tell them what's going on. Tell them all of these things. Give them a warning like I'm giving right here. You know, and he gave, you know, he said, well, if the Lord finds him so doing when he comes, that's a blessing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Can you say amen? But if that evil servant shall delay and have no sense of urgency, you know, and so this thing always challenges my heart sometimes when I say, well, you know, I want to preach a more excitable message and so on, you know, and all that. You know, I always try to do that to see, you know, how the Spirit is moving, see how I can help the people and all that. But then if you don't preach this kind of thing, you know, Jesus said, well, you know, if you say, well, you know, there's still time to do it and so on, you know, say, well, you know, listen to what he said. You know, the Lord of that servant should come in a day when he's not looking for him. And day that he's not aware of, and going to cut him asunder, going to cut him loose. So, appoint his portion with the hypocrites and all of that, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want any of that. Do you? No, praise the Lord. So we have to sound the alarm. We have to blow the trumpet. And if you're looking for faith and excitable messages, go to our website. We've got hundreds of it there. But today, we got to get back in this and sound this alarm, because it's very critical. The age is ending, but people don't know it. But it doesn't matter whether you know it or don't know it. You know, people were carrying on their business in the day of Lot. you know, until God rained fire and brimstone over them. People were carrying out their business in the day of Noah until the flood came and took them out. They, if, you know, if, whether they believed it or didn't believe it or knew about it or didn't know it, didn't stop it from happening. Amen. And the same thing, Jesus said it himself, as it was in the days of Lot and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days at the end when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, when the Son of Man is revealed, that's the one I want to talk about in the book of Revelation. So shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, turn with me. Again, this is a preamble to refresh our minds about what we are doing in the book of Revelation. Now, before we do that, though, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 12. Let me just read just one quick verse in the book of Hosea, chapter 12. I want to read from verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes. This is Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10, even in the ministry of the prophets. Now, so prophetic symbolism. God will use similitudes, which is symbols, in the ministry of the prophets. He has used that throughout the Bible to tell us things. Now, some things he tells us point blank. Sometimes when Jesus told some parables, they come back and say, well, tell us what those things mean. And then he will tell them point blank. Don't you understand these things? They say, no, we don't understand. Then he will tell them point blank. At other times, he will just lay it out in a parable and leave it alone. And he won't do any more further explanation and so forth. You know, then sometimes he comes to the prophets, you know, I mean, many of them like Daniel and so forth concerning the end of time, even Ezekiel there, some deep things there concerning the end of time, you know, or even the, you know, book of Revelation that John wrote, you know, and so, and all these things. And sometimes he would just leave it out there without exactly telling us many of it. And in some places, he does tell us how. But remember, multiply visions and use similitudes, which is symbols, you know, by the ministry of the prophets, you know. And we notice that, you know, in Antioch in those days, Acts chapter 13, there were prophets and teachers that waited on the Lord. And we know that even also in the book of Romans chapter 12, I'm going through this very quickly, we are told that we should wait on our ministry. And let those who have the ministry of prophecy wait on their prophecy. Let those who have the ministry of teaching wait on teaching. Now, the word of the Lord came to us through the prophets by similitudes, by symbols and so forth. And the teachers must bring it out and teach it to the people. So the prophets and teachers working in unison there and all that. You know, so we see what the prophets have brought, and now we are teaching this to our people so that we can have an understanding. Now, God is not entirely pleased if we choose to not follow knowledge. He doesn't like it at all. You know, some people say, well, this book of Revelation is too hard. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's read Hosea, in this same Hosea that we are in. Turn to chapter 4, and let's read verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. Now, that's a very strong warning. That thou shalt be no priest unto me. Well, do we want to be priests and kings, like the book of Revelation told us? Then we better not reject knowledge. And he goes on to say, even this part is even worse. Seeing that hast forgotten the law of the Lord, thy God, I will also forget thy children. Well, I don't want any part of that. Do you? Do you want the Lord to forget your children? No. So we must choose knowledge and understanding. We cannot neglect the word of God. This is the reason why people perish. You know, we have a proverb in my language that says, you know, for a cripple, you know, if a cripple hears ahead that there's coming a war, you know, it's not going to take him by surprise because he knows he's a cripple. So if he heard that war is coming, he's going to start moving fast before everybody else. Now, those people that think, well, you know, I can get out of here quickly, they hang around and so forth. The cripple, well, but it's not just every cripple. It's the cripple that is wise. Amen. If he's not wise, the thing will come and take him away. You know, so God also does not want us to be in darkness. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. He said, look, we are not in darkness. God doesn't want us to be in darkness. You see? So ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. We're not in darkness. But a lot of people are actually in darkness. Well, to make sure that we are actually not in darkness, so we have to teach these things to help us understand the word of God. Amen. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things, you have to keep up with me because I'm moving very fast. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, right? But the things which are revealed belong unto us. Now, if God didn't reveal it, that's his business. But if he's already revealed it or he asked us to search it out, then that's our business. So that we may understand and do all the words of this law and take heed to the things that Jesus said, behold, I have told you in advance. This is the reason why we do these things. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Matthew 10, 26. The Bible says that there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. You know, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And there is nothing hid that shall not be made known. Jesus said this himself. You know, and so, you know, when we say that, well, some things are hidden, some things are difficult in the Bible, we can't understand it. Well, that's not his purpose. His purpose said, well, it shall be revealed. Praise the Lord. And it will be made known. Nothing covered and all of that be made known. Okay. So, we see that there are some prophecies in the Bible that they were told to seal up until the end time. Like Daniel. Daniel was told to seal this up in Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. He said to him, seal up these things until the end, time of the end and all that. You know, so for many people, for many ages, they didn't understand. You know, it's like a closed book. You give a closed book to somebody, you say, well, I can't read it because it's closed. You know, that's to the person that's even learned. If you give it to the learned person, he can't read it because it's sealed. You know, we talked about that when we covered the seals. You know, but you give it to an unlearned person, he can't understand it anyway, even if it's open, because he's unlearned. You know, but we say, look, seal up, shut up the words and seal up the book until the time of the end. Well, it didn't exactly say shut up the words and seal up the book forever. No. It says shut up the words and seal up the book until the time of the end. So that until tells us that something is going to happen, you know. And so maybe there is a time of the unsealing. Maybe there's a time of the unveiling of the things where Jesus said, everything sealed shall be revealed and everything covered shall be made known. Praise the Lord. So that's where we are. Now, God has given us a very sure word of prophecy in this Bible. You know, the prophets have spoken. They did not speak by imagination. They did not speak by, you know, just making things up. But holy men of God, you know, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, we're told in the book of, Second Peter chapter 1, verses 9 to 21, talks about us having a sure word of prophecy. A sure word of prophecy. Now, this is sure word. It was given to us in the book of Revelation. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation. All of that we said, you know, was to help us understand, you know, why we have to do this. Now, there are many kinds of prophecies. You know, so we've covered these things before, but I just want to refresh our mind. You know, there are some prophecies that are time-based prophecies. They're just based on time. You know, it's time-driven. It's time-triggered. There are some other prophecies that are event-triggered, you know, and there is some other prophecies that are a combination of both. You know, one thing takes place. Now, when you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, you know, that's an event-driven prophecy. Because when you see, it didn't tell you when it will happen, but whatever time it happens, when you see that, that's an event. When that event triggers, then some other things trigger. So that's an event trigger. You know, some other things are time-triggered. You know, so many years are appointed unto thy people and so forth. That's time-triggered. God triggers it based on time. He triggers it based on events. Then again, there are dual prophecies in the Bible. You know, you said dual prophecies. You are absolutely. There are dual prophecies. Sometimes prophecies are point blank for right now. And then they could be also, you know, remember the word of God is eternal. Praise the Lord. It can be now, it can be forever. Let's take a look at a couple of dual prophecies like that. You know, before we just laying a foundation to help us understand how do we really, what's the key to understanding the book of Revelation? You know, so I'm giving us a refresher course here. Look at, let's go back to this same book of Hosea that we were reading just a little bit ago. Hosea chapter 11. This time around, let's look at verse 12. Verse 1. Hosea chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Well, he did exactly that in the time he told Pharaoh, you know, he told Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, he said, you know, Israel is my firstborn. And you mess with my firstborn, I'm going to mess with yours. You know, so, you know, he called his son out of Egypt. But when we go to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 2, we read in verse 15 that, you know, when the angel warned Joseph to take Mary and the child, run away into Egypt and so forth, you know, he said, look, you be there until I bring you word again, because there's some people that seek the life of the child. And the scripture is making reference, said that, you know, you stay there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. That which was spoken by the prophet saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, that was already fulfilled. We know that because God called Israel out of Egypt and he told Pharaoh, this is my firstborn, you know, and so on. But he's talking about the same thing for the life of Jesus again. And the scripture is even referring to that prophecy. So we see that sometimes there is a dual fulfillment in a prophecy. And sometimes a single prophecy might be split. That's what we also call split prophecy. Something, you know, you might be reading one verse of scripture and it's split. It says something and it splits it right there. You say, well, how does that happen? It's all God is the one that does it. There's an example of a split prophecy in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he went to the temple and it was handed to him the book of Isaiah's. And found the place where it was written. And he read it. This is the place where it was written. Isaiah chapter 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, you know, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel and the good tidings and so on and so forth. And he read all of that to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and to give unto them beautiful arches and the oil of mourning and all that. And he got right here to where he said, he got to right to where he said, you know, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped short of it. He didn't go to say, and the day of vengeance of our God. He stopped short of it. You know, why didn't he finish this? Did Jesus come at the first time to proclaim the day of vengeance? Not exactly. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of repentance, the acceptable time, you know, and so forth. He didn't exactly come at that time to proclaim the judgment. So he stopped short on it. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. I know I'm going very fast because I'm trying to finish this introduction in this short few minutes. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. When he found the place where it was written, he read all these things, Spirit of the Lord and so forth. And he began to say unto them, you know, remember in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where he stopped. And he didn't go on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God, just like Isaiah said. So that's a split prophecy. He fulfilled one part, and then he stopped in verse 21 and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. So he fulfilled that one part of it, but he left the day of vengeance of our God. Now, the day of vengeance of our God is coming, folks. And we are warning everybody about it. Now, so quickly, let's turn now to the book of Revelation. And just to give us an understanding of what this book of Revelation is all about. Now, quite unlike what a lot of people think, you know, the book of Revelation reveals the future and all of this. Yeah, it does, but that's not exactly the purpose. Let's find out what the purpose of the book. And when you understand the purpose, you'll be more inclined, you know, to read it or to listen to it when it is taught. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, let's read the introduction. Verse 1 tells exactly the story. Revelation 1, verse 1. Is it the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, this is not the revelation of John, as some Bible translations may tag it. No, it's not the revelation of John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show to his servants, not to hide from his servants. Can you say amen? To show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the hand of his angel. So we see the progression there. You know, it was something that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ because of his humility. This story of the book of Revelation is to show us the coronation of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. The revealing of who Jesus Christ really is and how he's going to take possession of all things. How the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. You know, this is the beauty of the book of Revelation. But along the way, there are some things that will happen. Jesus has to clean house first. So there's going to be some judgments. He said, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor. You know, and so forth. So there is some fanning and some purging and so. But people focus a lot more on those fanning and purging and some things that are happening in the book of Revelation. And we focus so much on that. No, but it is everything that is about. You have to go back to the beginning. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whether you are reading about what happens, the messages to the churches, you know, whether you are reading about, you know, the judgments that are following in the seals, the trumpets, the vials, and all of these things, whether you are reading about the coming Antichrist system, you know, and all that, whether you are reading about the two witnesses that will stand up that God will use, whether you are reading about, you know, some other things that God will show John, how he will see the new heavens and new, it's all leading up to Christ taking full ownership of everything. Amen. Now, it's not about the church. Some people would like to think it's about them. You know, that's great. And you know, that feeds the ego. You think that, you know, God writing some stuff about us. No. This stuff is written about Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Now, don't forget that. But there is a promise and a blessing for just hearing it or reading it. Listen to verse 3 of Revelation 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Can you say praise the Lord? So, this book of Revelation will tie into so many other things. And there's one more key I'm going to give us. Again, remember, yeah, I'm trying to refresh our minds because it's been a while since we picked this up. I mean, since we did this. There's another key which I'm going to give us to help us understand the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not entirely written in chronological sequence. You know, this is what, some people think that it's just written. So, you know, chapter 1 and then chapter 2, the events of chapter 2 follow chapter 1, the events of chapter 3 follow chapter 2, and so on. No, not entirely. There are some subjects that are repeated back and forth. You know, he shows you one way and comes back and shows it. And remember, John, he was writing the visions that he saw. You know, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, it talks about verses 28 and 29. He said, look, let the prophets say this vision like they see it. You know, he said, let the prophet that had a dream, let him tell the dream. Just say it. And he that had my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Just say it the way you see it, and so forth. So John was saying it the way he saw it. There are many times that John himself did not understand what he saw. You know, one angel will come to him and say, who are these that are arrayed in white clothes? Well, I don't know, thou knowest. And then they will tell him. There are some other things they will tell him. He doesn't know. He just reported it as he saw it. You know, now, some places, the explanation right there and then is given. But even sometimes when it is given, it is even couched. Like he might say, well, I'm going to show you the mystery of the woman, you know, that sits upon the beast, you know, with these, you know, seven heads and all these things and so forth. You know, she's the city that's, I mean, she's this thing that sits upon seven hills, you know, and so on. She might give you something. And then you may understand it, may not understand it. John, maybe he understood, maybe he didn't. But he reported it the way he saw it. Praise the Lord. Now, it is for us to understand Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Now, God, you know, we know that if he doesn't want to reveal it, there's nothing we can do about it. But if he has concealed it in order for it to be revealed later, then it is for us to search it out, especially if it is has a trumpeting of an alarm and warning, early warning signs behind it. So, when we study the book of Revelation, we already covered, you know, the first few chapters, and we started going into the breaking of the seals and how it ties into the coronation of somebody, you know, and so on, and that, which is why John wept, you know, because if Christ didn't get coronated, then they are now going to become kings and priests, you know. So, but when we start going into all the other deep things, the warnings and the judgments that are coming upon the world, I don't want us to stay too focused on that, you know, because Jesus said it this way: pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. You know, so if you can escape, then that's all you need to know. Don't worry about too much, but we have to cover it because it's in the Bible. You know, but I don't want people to get fixated on, okay, so this is going to happen and these judgments are coming. Those judgments are coming, but we have not been appointed unto wrath. Amen. The children of God are not appointed unto wrath. And God instructed us, pray that you may escape. Now, if you don't pray or you think nothing about it, you know, like Noah, when he was probably telling them the flood is coming, they laughed him to scorn. Because they, by that time, it hadn't even ever rained, let alone a flood. You know, they didn't even know what it was. God used to bring the mist from the earth there. So telling us that it's going to rain, what's that? You know, that they laughed, they mocked him and so forth. But did that help them? No. Whether they believed it or not, they were swept away in the flood. And this is the same thing that's going to happen. Because people are making mockery of the word of God today. They couldn't care less about it. They say it's not going to happen since the Father slept and everything's like this and so forth. Well, whether you say it or they believe it or not, it is going to come to pass. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of my word until it shall be fulfilled. That's what Jesus said. Now, our warning, you know, Jesus said, you know, the word, you know, word of God to many of the prophets, I've set you as a watchman over the city and so forth. So our job as a watchman is to tell the people, to blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm, to let the people know of what's coming. That's why I gave you the, you know, the various reasons or how we use an alarm, the various purposes of an alarm. So the one that we are going to be focusing on in the book of Revelation, the various uses of trumpets and alarms that we're going to focus on is to send a message. You know, and Bible already warns us that, look, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, you know, let's say you are supposed to blow once for this thing and you blow twice or three times, then people get confused. Because they had all those things. You know, if you blow once, it means this. Blow twice. If you blow long, it means that and so on. They had various things like that. You know, so the trumpet must give a clear sound. Amen. That means the teachers, when they teach the word of God, they must give a clear sound. We can't teach it this way and that way and get everybody confused. You know, so we have to give a clear sound. Make so that everybody will be able to prepare. Now, one last thing that I want to tell us is, even though prophecy is in symbolism, most of the time prophecy is self-explained. And if it's not self-explained, you may have to look to some other prophecy to explain it. Because, you know, God, you know, this Bible says the scripture is not by private interpretation. It's not by private interpretation. You know, so, but again, prophecy is different from prediction. God doesn't predict anything. How many of you say amen to that? God foretells the future. He doesn't need to predict anything because he already knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. Prediction is like people guessing, you know, and it gives an uncertain sound and makes people confused. You guess, okay, the Lord's coming in 19 something, they guess. The Lord's coming in 19 days, they cut. And after a while, people are confused. No, God doesn't do that. If my prophet have a dream, let them say a dream. And if I have my word, let him tell it faithfully. You know, so God tells it the way it is. Praise the Lord. In fact, if you have watched a movie so many times over that you can almost recount the movie and you can tell what is happening from one scene to another and from one plot to another and so forth, and you know this thing, you've watched it so many times. This is for the young people, just to help you understand, you know. And one of your friends comes along who hasn't watched this movie, you could almost repeat what's about to happen because you've watched it so many times, you know. Now, God is like that. It's not that he has watched it so many times, but he already knows it and he never forgets anything. Praise the Lord. If you have perfect knowledge of everything, you'd be God. So we don't. But we have to have faith in his word. Now, God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And when he tells us, he doesn't make predictions. He tells us the way it is. Now, it may take 1,000 years. It doesn't matter. It is going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. When God told them in the book of Genesis 3 and 15, he talked about the seed of the serpent will bruise his heel, and then the seed of the woman will bruise his head and so forth. Nobody understood what he was talking about. I mean, it took thousands of years, but it happened at Calvary. Amen. And no matter how long the word of God takes, remember, for us it's long, but to him 1,000 years is one day. Amen. So all these 6,000 years that the earth has been here and so forth, now that's after this revamping of the earth. We know it's been here longer. But after this revamping, it's like just a few days. You know, it doesn't mean anything to him at all. But, you know, for us, whether it's 100 years, 1,000 years, or whatever long it takes, you know, and God sometimes will delay these things so that he can weary out the unbelievers. Hello, folks. That's right. God sometimes may delay these things and weary them out. You know, get rid of those people that don't believe anything because they don't believe. Because it took longer, so they don't believe. So when they waited a little bit and didn't come to pass, they just give up. Well, that shows they never believed to start with. If you believe the word of God, you will stay with it till the end. Amen. And even if you don't see it in your time, you will tell your seed and your generation that this is the word of God and it's coming to pass. Amen. Whether it comes to pass in your time or it comes to pass later, you will tell it. You will tell it to them. It is coming to pass. Praise the Lord. So as we go deeper into this Revelation series, keep two things in mind. One, it is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Two, God gave it to his prophet to show. Gave it to Jesus Christ to, you know, send it and signify by the angel to the hand of John to show to us, not to hide from us. Praise the Lord. It is to show to us the things that must shortly come to pass. I said two things, but let me put the other third thing, which is rolled into number one, actually. It's about Jesus Christ. But don't forget where we are headed with it all. Where we are headed is not just about, you know, the things. It's not about the, you know, the white horse riding, the red horse, the black horse, the gray horse, and all of these other things that are riding. No, but it is about what Jesus, you know, what the Bible says, you know, somewhere. You can see where he encapsulates it in Revelation 11:15. He talks about it, you know, when he opened, when he blew that, when finally opened that, you know, when that seventh angel finally blew and sounded that trumpet, you know, there was something that happened. You know, it happened all here. And also many other things came later, you know, but it happened all here. So that will tell you that it's not just all chronological. He goes back and forth into different dimensions when he's explaining. Right here, it happened. When he blew that seventh trumpet, he said, you know, there was a great voice, many voices in heaven say, the kingdoms of this world are now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. That is the final analysis. You know, just like it said in Daniel, in the days of those kings, the Lord our God is going to set up a kingdom that shall not be destroyed and that not be left to other people. It will be given to these people of the saints of the Most High God. And the Ancient of Days, he will come. He will sit and he will rule. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. That concludes that this introduction. This is to whet your appetite for what more is coming. And again, I went through very fast because of time. just to refresh our minds, and then we're going to go back and pick it up. You know, we're going to pick up steam and pick it up, and we're heading to somewhere. You know, where we're heading with this is for us to really understand the beauty of the coronation of Jesus Christ. When he takes unto him, when God said, God, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he shall gather together all things in Christ. Hallelujah. All things. This is the great mystery that has been hidden, you know, from before the world began. You know, how God is going to do it, how he's going to bring both Gentiles and Jews, how he's going to gather together all things in Christ, and how God is going to set Jesus down and make him ruler of all. Amen. Now, unto him that overcometh, I shall grant to sit with me in my throne, saith the Lord, even as I overcame, and I am set with my Father in his throne. Now, that's worth the price of admission. I mean, whatever you want. I mean, if you want to be there, then, you know, follow his word. Do everything you can, and the grace of God will be with you to get you there. Amen. Let's put out our hands, and we're going to pray. And then the praise team will come, and they're going to sing and lead us. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, everybody, all over this place. Let's thank him, because it has pleased him not to hide from us these things. You know, Jesus told them, you know, I no longer call you just servants, but I now call you friends, because a servant doesn't know the will of the master, but you are now my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Father, Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we go deeper into this revelation, show us, O Lord, thy glory. Amen. Jesus prayed and he said, you know, Father, that they may be with me, that they may see my glory, which I had with you from the beginning. And this same glory I have given unto them, that they may be one. Father, help us, O Lord, to enter into your glory in the mighty name of Jesus, to see the things that are coming. And above all, help us, O Lord, to be accounted worthy to escape the judgments and the cleaning house that is going to happen, the fanning of the fiery flame that is going to happen. Help us to escape, to be counted worthy, to escape all of these things, and to stand before the Son of Man. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.